to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
First Timothy chapter 6. I want to talk to you. The Lord kind of prompted my heart. I was going to do a sermon and Jasmine thought it would be irreverent. So I'm not going to do it. I was going to do one on God and his big mouth, but that might be a little bit irreverent. Because what I'd like to do is, and the Lord impressed me, was to build your faith this last part of the year. How many, the Bible says that the righteous are as what? Bold as a what? Bold as a lion. And I heard some good I had so many good testimony. We have a chance to be in the back when the small groups are coming in. I missed the couple of groups that we have up here, or three groups we have up here. But we get to talk to people quite a bit. And you ought to hear some of the things going on, from the boldness of just letting the Lord use you and be able to use. And I want to talk to you this morning and encourage your faith a little bit, because faith is a fight. Everybody say fight. When I grew up in Virginia, that's one thing you did. We just fought a lot. And I told you this before, I didn't win a lot of them, but I fought a lot of them. And you just fought. That's just one thing you just did. You just fought. You'd fight at football games. You'd fight at school. You'd fight at basketball games. You fought, you know, on and on and on. So here's it. The Bible says, go back, and 1 Timothy chapter 6 says, fight. Everybody say fight. Fight the good fight of faith. And I want to talk to you the fight of faith. And one of the things I enjoyed was coming into Christianity, which I was all my life. I got away just a few years in my teenage years and then came back to the Lord when I was 19 years old. And I have learned something about life. Is one of the keys about my life is the Lord has used me in practicalness. Sometimes people that get saved park their brain somewhere and never pick them back up. God did not make Christianity to be some abnormal something. Many things in the physical realm transfer over to the spiritual realm. They're great analogies. Jesus used them all the time. He talked about flowers and birds and on and on. So I want to talk to you this morning because one of the things I learned about faith is a fight. And there is a fight to faith. Not just something you can lollygag around and do as you please. Faith is a fight. And let's pray. Father, I ask you to open our eyes this morning. Let us see, Lord, give us just a new paradigm, Lord, that we would see truth. And truth would set us free in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Amen. Look at somebody, say, you want to fight? Just ask somebody, say, you want to fight? Hey, you want to fight? Luke chapter 5. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, by the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said, Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. A little bit faster. When I get that last word, hit the next phrase. Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners to the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats, so they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Now, it says, for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James, and he had a whole list of them. Now, I want you to get this, because there was a miracle that happened this. In fact, go back up to verse 1, if you would. Let's read verse 1 so they get the impact. One occasion, while the crowd was pressing in to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, Galilee, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said, put out into the what? Everybody say wrong place. The way you fished in that day was two boats would go out together, and a lot like fishing today. Is the big fish would come in near the banks to eat the minnows. That's how they fed. They would feed it at certain times. They'd feed on the minnows or the small fish up near the bank. And many times what those fishermen would do is they'd go out two boats together. They would string a net between them and they would come up toward the bank and they would scoop up the fish, the big fish that was in there eating the little minnows. So everybody say wrong place. Everybody say wrong place. Wrong place. Go out into the deep. Wrong place in that day how they fished. Let your nets down for a catch. Simon said, Master, we toiled all night and took, everybody say nothing. Everybody say diddly squat, diddly squat. That means nothing. They had nothing. And he said, but at your word, everybody say at your word. At your word, I will let down the nets. Now, listen, this story begins with failure. Everybody say failure. You need to get that truth because many of you have tried your very best, but you have failed. And one of the things I learned, but listen, you must realize failure is not the end. Persistence always overcomes resistance. And when you learn that faith is a fight, it's not something you're going to learn some trick and it's going to happen automatically like this or that every time. Until you learn that faith is a fight. There are seasons when you go through. Let me say this. All success has a double portion of failure. If you think you're going to experience success without failure, you're living in an illusion. You're never going to succeed in business. You're never going to succeed in your marriage. You're never going to succeed in your spiritual life until you realize it is a fight to the finish. Every success has a portion of failure to it. They angrily, when he talked to them, they had been professional fishermen and they had tried their very best. And at the end of their trying, they had diddly squat. And he asked them, do you have any fish? And the Bible says they angrily spit out the words. We fished all night. We've worked and worked and worked and we have nothing. And that's not only applied to fishermen. It's applied to businessmen. That can be applied to wives and to husbands. That can be applied to students. It can be, you name it. Those that have tried their best at the right time and ended up with nothing to show for what they've got. Let me tell you again. It's called the fight of faith. Every miracle Jesus had a meaning to it. And this miracle means this. That is, if you're going to succeed in life, you've got to learn how to try again. I understand one of the definitions of insanity is doing the same thing the same way, expecting a different result. But at the same time, I believe there is the understanding that if you're going to succeed in life, you've got to learn the first try is not always going to work. You got to learn how to try again. Look at somebody say, try again. Would you say that? Say, try again. Listen, Jesus got into Simon Peter's boat. He said, launch out into the deep. You know, Peter knew and could tell right off the bat, this wasn't a fisherman. This was a carpenter. And that day, carpenters didn't work with wood. They worked with stone. They were called tectons. And Jesus was unemployed carpenter at this point. He was out beginning his ministry. But Peter had a decision. I know that Jesus said, you've tried your best. I know that. But listen, he initially just virtually said this. I want you to try again. Spurgeon was a man that wrote about the snail by persistence got on the ark. Come on, somebody. You have to learn how to try again. You might be slow. Look, how many of you are thick-headed? How many of you are thick-headed? You do know physically, absolutely physically, men are thicker-headed than women. We've known that all along. It's just scientifically true. And there are some things that if you're going to happen, you're going to have to learn how to try. Listen, persistence is the willingness to give another try rather than make an alibi. Persistence is the ability to try again, willingness to give it another try rather than make an alibi. You ever been around somebody that always makes an alibi? Why rain? Why they couldn't do that? Why they couldn't do that? Help me. They're always making this. Persistence finds a way when other people find an excuse. Come on, all the lazy people say amen this morning. Come on, is it just hitting you right where you are? Listen, you're not finished until you think you are. When you think you're finished, you're finished. When you're willing to try again, nothing is impossible. When you won't give in, you won't throw in the towel. It's that rocky spirit, I could say. But you're willing to try again. And it's not just some Hollywood theology. They gained it from the Bible. And the Bible states that our God is a God that tries again. I'll show you that in just a second. One of the worst things I ever did in my life, I had the worst theology. And I'll show you what I mean by that in just a minute. Listen, when you're willing, if you want to win, you've got to think you can win before you win. If you think you're a loser, you'll stay a loser all your life. If you think you're defeated all your life, you'll stay a defeated person all your life. Last week, I talked to you about the devil and his big mouth. Some of you, from the time you were little until now, you heard and still hear in your brain, you're no good, you can't do it, you'll never make anything of yourself. And those are the lies of the enemy. You've got to hear what God says about you. You've heard the taunts of your classmates. Many times, the deepest wounds in a person's life are those that were inflicted as a child. The things that were said, the comments about your physical features that was said, you're too short, you're too tall, your ears are too big, your ears are too little, your nose is too big, your nose is too little, your eyes don't look, one side of your face don't look like the other side of your face, you're ugly, you're all these things that are said to you. You've got to come to the place in your life when you're going to listen to what the Spirit of God says to you. Jesus was not the best looking guy that ever walked the face of this earth. There were more handsome people than Jesus on the face of the earth. One time they guessed his age and they guessed him at 50 years old. Do you remember that? He said, before Abraham was, I am. And they said, you're not even 50 years old yet. Well, he was only 30 something. They guessed him 50. Come on, all the wrinkled people say amen. Come on, everybody say amen. You got to listen. You got to come to the place where you believe you're a child of the living God. Though the outward man perish, the inward man renewed day by day. We're all going to lay aside this body one day, but we've got a brand new body prepared for us in glory. You've got to believe that you're a child and that God loves you and that you can square your shoulders and you can stand to the test, because God will not put on you more than you can bear, but with every test give you a way of escape. You can make it through situations. You got to think high to rise. You can't think low and stay down there. You can't be in the pits. Listen, have you tried and failed? Hey, I got a word for you this morning. Try again. Amen. Have you failed at the best, Pastor, at the best opportune time? I failed. Listen, try again. At the word of the Lord. Wednesday night we talked about listening to what God says and understanding it. Listen, the master commands, launch out into the deep. Listen, has adversity whispered in your ear, it's over? Some of you, I'll guarantee you, in a crowd this size, somebody sitting here, and whatever it is you're dealing with, it's over. It's just, Pastor, it's finished. Listen, you got to understand, there's a word this morning, and that word is this: try again. I've learned in my life, if I'll keep trying until the day I die, I'm not going to... knocking down is not the end. Some of you need to get back up off the mat. Getting knocked down is not an end as long as you get back up. Come on. How many ever saw the Rocky movies? The man got back up over and over and over again. Get back up in your life. Amen. You know, Pastor, I've gotten into this and into that. Well, get back off the ground and stand up again. Because listen, it's not over until you say it's over. That's a good thing about spiritual warfare. It's not over until I say it's over. And I can believe God and trust God. I'm going to tell you, there comes a time when you need to. Listen, God says, he said, listen, consider Moses. You remember Moses? He failed miserably. The Bible says he went and he tried to lead the children of Israel out. He was going to deliver them early on in his life. Had everything going for him. He was in Pharaoh's court. He was in the family line. He was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. And he decided one day that he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew and went and killed the Egyptian. The next day saw two Hebrews fighting and said, why are you fighting your brothers? And they said, who are you reigning over us? You killed that Egyptian. He realized word was out. He had committed a capital crime. And the Bible says he took off running and for 40 years on the backside of a desert. But let me tell you something, it's not over till God says it's over. You think he's 40 years old when this happens, that'd be the prime of life to lead that people out. God waited till he was 80 years old. How many 80 year olds? Pop, you're 80, right? He waited till he was 80 years old to come to him and say, why don't you do it now? Come on, somebody, it ain't over till it's over. It isn't. You've got to listen. If you don't believe Moses, I want you to return. Listen, you know what God will do with you many times? God will take you back to the place of your failure and tell you to try again. He took him back 40 years later. He said, I want you to go right back where you failed 40 years ago, and I want you to try it again. Oh, master, it was a whole lot better. It's the wrong timing, wrong. He said, go back and try it again. I'm going to tell you what God will do in your life. God will bring you back to some things. John Wesley, who began the Methodist Church, there was a time when the Methodist Church was the most on fire church in the world. I mean, John Wesley is called Methodist because he had a method of the way they worship. He got 12 men and he turned England upside down. But did you know before he began the Methodist Church, he felt he had a calling on his life to be a missionary, and he left England and came to America and flopped. Can I tell you that he came to America and his meetings were little. His meetings were unattended. He went from one place to the next and nobody listened to him. He went back to England from America an absolute failure. Thinking it's over. Thinking it'll never happen. Thinking I'm no good. Thinking I'm just not cut out for this. And you read history. History tells us the reason England did not have a bloody revolution like France did was because of a man by the name of John Wesley. Come on, somebody. He burned up England. He burned up that nation. And it overflowed to America. And the Methodist Church came out of there and he came to America out of that great revival. And what he had failed at once, he became a great success at. Look at somebody say, try again. Would you say somebody? I don't know what you failed at. I don't know how bad it's been. But listen, try again. Out of the anguish of his soul was born a revival that swept. You know, the things that we look at right now, these things, the reason we can see in here is because of something called a light. What light? You know how many times it took, how many failures Thomas Edison had before he created this thing over your head called a light bulb? Almost 200 times he tried and failed. 200 times he failed. Once, twice, 3, 5, 10, 20, 30, 40, 100 times. How many of you know about 100 times you'd have given up? That 200th or so time, Thomas Edison made a light bulb that would stay lit. Look at somebody say, try again. Would you say that? Some of you don't even have to try the first time. One of the worst theologies I ever got in my brain. I grew up in church as a little boy, and I heard the stories and read the stories. And I read of David and Goliath and Elijah. And I knew them all because we had this big old family Bible on our coffee table. And I used to open it, and they had with the big pictures. You know the big ones with the big pictures? Oh, I'd see all these big pictures. And one of the things that got into me was, and I don't know why, but I just got in my brain that when Jesus walked the face of the earth, that when he did something, when he cast a devil out, when he healed somebody, when he, that everything happened just like that. Now get this. I'm talking about the Son of the living God who came to earth to be an example of how to live. And I just somehow in my brain, I got in my heart that when he prayed for somebody, instantly it happened. When he commanded a devil to come out, instantly it happened. I don't know where I got that from because I didn't get it from the Bible. But I just got that in my brain that it happened instantly. And therewith, there was something wrong with me because things didn't happen instantly for me. That I had to try again. Let me show you a few things that I've learned. Go ahead and get the next scripture. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. Took him by the man by the hand, led him out of the village. When he had spit on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see men, but they look like asparagus." Come on, somebody. They look like trees walking. Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again. Everybody say again. He had to pray for a man twice. Everybody say it's a fight of faith. See, if you think everything's going to happen the first time for you, Because somehow it's supposed, that's how it's supposed to happen. That is not how it's supposed to happen. It did not happen that way for the Son of the Living God. How many believe he was full of faith? And his faith, it still was a fight of faith for him. He had to lay hands on this man a second time. Can I tell you, I look at that, I said, I better back my theology up again, because if I'm going to win in this life, if I'm going to be successful, it's going to take more than once sometimes for me to see things. I said, well, maybe that's just an inch. Look at this. That had to do with healing. Sometimes with healing, it takes more than once for things to happen. Well, I don't know. I prayed for so-and-so for healing and it didn't happen. They said they felt a little bit better. That is absolutely biblical to happen in life. You want a healing? You got to go at it. You want to be healed? Sometimes it'll happen immediately. It happens that way. But there are other times when it is a fight of faith where it will be partially, and then you got to stay in there. The Bible could have said, he said, well, just go on. Leave. No, he laid hands on him again, prayed for him again. And the Bible, I said, this is the Son of the Living God. I thought every time he touched somebody, he had all the faith in the world. He'd come, he knew where he was from. He knew the Father first time. And yet it took two times praying for this man. He had to lay hands on him again. He didn't get all unbelief. He didn't say, oh man, it didn't happen first time. I'm not going to do this. He says, look at the scripture again, go on the next scripture. It says he laid hands on his eyes again. And then he opened them and the sight was restored. Come on, somebody say amen this morning. Not only healing, but what about deliverance? Look at this. Deliverance. When Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs. Now, let me tell you what I used to think. I used to think because he was the Son of the Living God, he had authority over every demon. When he said out, that demon took out. That is not true. John says, if we wrote everything he did, the world could not contain the books. So you can multiply these cases by, you just put the number out there. How many times? Look, he stepped out of the boat. Immediately there met him in the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran, fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, what have we to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I adjure you by God, do not torment me. For he was saying to him, come out of the man, you unclean. You read what I just read? Yeah. He had been saying, he was saying to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And the back it up. When Jesus said, come out of the man, the spirit said this. Why are you tormenting? What do we do with you, Jesus? I adjure you by God. Don't torment me. You know what it tells me? He was trying to get that devil out of that man and commanded it to come out. And that devil did not come immediately out. The devil responded. He said, what have you to do with us, Jesus? Me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I adjure you by God. Don't torment me. I used to think Jesus would command the devil and the devil would come right out immediately. It happened just like, that's not true. Jesus commanded the devil come out and the devil said, what am I to do with you? Why are you tormenting me? And one translation says, he had been commanding the devil to come out. And the devil, listen, everybody say it takes more than once. Try again. And he's doing, I tried to cast the devil out that person, but you know, I tried, nothing happened. That's because you gave up. That's because you didn't know it's a fight of faith. That's because you didn't know this thing is a fight sometimes. And if you're going to win, you got to keep in the fight. You got to try again. Everybody say try again. That has to do with deliverance. Look at this. What about the will of God? Look at this. Surrendering to the will of God in your life. Looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured. Everybody say endured. He had to endure the cross. Go to the next scripture. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, which was for the cup to pass, but as you will. He came to disciples and found them sleeping and said, Peter, so you could not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but listen, he wasn't just giving them a theology lesson. He was telling them the fight that he was in. Because his flesh now, for the first time, was rising up in self-preservation. He said, Lord, if it be possible, let the cup pass from me. But not as I will. That's what I will. Listen, sometimes it takes more than once to deal with your flesh. Oh, Pastor, you know what happened this last weekend. I just didn't. Oh, you don't know what happened in my life about 10 years ago. I got into da-da-da-da-da. Listen, it takes more than once to bring your flesh under control. Look at this. Look what he says. Watch and pray, but the flesh is weak. 42. Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, Father, if it cannot pass unless I drink it, you will be done. Again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. Notice what verse 44. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Everybody say, saying the same words. You think you don't have to try again? The Son of the living God did not come down here and everything automatically, instantly happened for him. He tried again. He laid hands on blind people twice. He commanded devils to come out of demon-possessed people over and over again, dealing with them, trying again. He dealt with his own flesh, and he prayed, going away the third time, a third hour, 3 hours it took him to get his flesh, who knew no sin, to deal with it. And he finally says, he went away and he prayed, commanding, listen, the will of God. Listen, obedience. Listen to what he says in Hebrews 5. Next scripture, go ahead. Who in the days of his flesh, when he'd offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying. That's what happened when he was in that 3 hours. It wasn't just some little prayer. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord. He was strong crying. Father, if there be another way, pass the cup, if not your will. He said prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. And was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the, everybody say thing or things. What did it say? Let me tell you, it's going to take more than one thing to teach you obedience. You got to learn how to try again. The test comes again. You may have failed miserably this test of purity, this test of anger, this test of whatever. But let me tell you something. Just because you failed that test doesn't mean you got some other things to learn the same principle in. And you can stand up there and you can say, I may have failed, but I have passed the test now. I have turned it down. I've left that thing. And I'm going to tell you, it takes more than once. And you got to learn the key. Listen, every success story is full of failure somewhere in it. Look at giving forgiveness. Watch this. This is the story. It says, and Jesus says, Father, forgive them. The word in the Greek language is a repetitive verb. He did not on the cross one time say, Father, forgive them. Instantly forgiveness welled. You know what that means in the Greek? It meant, and Jesus said and kept on saying, Father, forgive them. Some of you are dealing with bitterness. You're dealing with forgiving forgiveness. You know what it takes? I tried to forgive them, but you know, it just, you keep on trying again. Every time the memory and the pictures come up, you give, Father, forgive them. Father, listen, it's called a fight of faith. And it's going to take you more than one time to deal with stuff in your life. It took the Son of the living God on the cross. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. When they would say these nasty things at him. Father, forgive. When they took his clothes and Father, forgive them. When they, Father, forgive. He said it over and over and over. These things didn't happen instantly for the Son of the living God. It took a fight. Look at the next one. Forgiveness. While he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him, felt compassion, ran and embraced him. And I like the word. It's another repetitive verb. And kissed him. It's a repetitive verb. It meant he kissed him and kissed him and kissed him and kissed him. I don't know. I'm dealing with this person. They just can't seem to receive, you know, forgiveness. Well, kiss them again. I don't know. I tried to talk them into kiss them again. You know, Pastor, I thought I've talked to them. I'm blue in the face. Well, talk to them till you're red in the face. Kiss them again. Come on, somebody. Kiss them again. Keep telling them. Keep reminding them. You know, keep giving it out. Peter went to Jesus. Do you love me? He asked him three times to get through that. You know, salvation, I'm just going to tell this story for sake of time. You remember Naaman in the Old Testament, leprosy always talked about sin. And Naaman, the Syrian, went to Elijah and the Bible, Elijah, and the Bible says that he said, go in the Jordan River and dip seven times. Why seven? Why not just one? Because it takes more than once sometimes. And I like that picture analogy because, listen, don't you ever stop anybody from coming to an altar. Oh, no, they're so-and-so. They're down there every time they give an altar call. They're down there at them altars. We had many years ago, I'll never forget this. We had Dale Evans here. Dale Evans and Roy Rogers. Remember Dale Evans and Roy Rogers? Dale Evans came and she spoke. And she spoke about her conversion. She said, when I was a little girl, I used to go to the altar all the time. And I used to go down there and give my life. And then the next few months, I'd go down and give my life again. But she said, I grew up in a church where they never rebuked me for coming to the altar. And she said, there came a time when I knew that I knew I was saved. Sometimes it takes more than once. Come on, somebody. Some of you got saved a number of times till it took. Let's say it that way. That's an unbiblical way of saying it, but it took. All right, that's not my theology, but I'll just say it that way. Prayer. Look at prayer. Let me just say prayer. Look what Jesus said about prayer. You think prayer. He told them a parable that the effect that men ought always to pray. Everybody say always. That means it's going to take more than once. You're going to be a fight of faith. You know, one of the keys about it is Paul wrote this in Corinthians. Listen to what he said in Corinthians. So keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation. This is Apostle Paul. A thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times. And I told you this it's an idiom in the Greek language. Three times does not mean three times. I don't know how to say that without you thinking, what a weirdo. Three times, that phrase was an idiom which meant I ask over and over and over and over and over again. He knew it was a fight of faith. There are things that you cannot give up. You know, one of the keys is Elijah. Look at this one about prayer. Let me show you this. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Most of you never do that scripture. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person. Everybody say the prayer of a righteous person. Oh, no. The reason I know that I'm not really where I ought to be in God is because, you know, I pray and nothing happens sometimes. And the prayer, if I was really the prayer of a righteous person has great power. Now, my theology, my old theology was, that means when a person prays, it happens. That's not what it says. Watch this. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man like a nature of ours and prayed fervently. Here's a righteous man, Elijah. Fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again. Oh God, send rain. Shoom, shoom, pow, rain everywhere. That is not the way it happened. You know how it happened with this righteous man that it worked? He was a man that tried again. It was a man that understood it doesn't always work the first time. Sometimes it takes more than once. How did that work for that? Pray, because the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But the example we give is Elijah. He prayed, it didn't rain. Then he prayed again, and it did rain. That's how it sounds. Look at it. Let's just read it real quick. We're going to end up with this. Elijah said to Ahab, go up and drink, for there is a sound of rushing rain. It's been 3 years of no rain. And now he's about to do this where it says in James, he prayed, and it rained. But look how it happened. Ahab went up to eat and drink. Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. And he bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. And he went up and looked toward the sea. He says, there's what? Ain't nothing happening, boss. I don't see nothing. You're praying for rain to happen. James seems like it was one of those just immediate things. He prayed, it rained. No. He prayed again and nothing happened. He prayed again and nothing happened. Come on, somebody say, try again. He said, ain't nothing happening, boss. He said, go again. Seven. Everybody say seven. That little boy went. He went the second time. He said, Elijah, he's down there praying. He's a righteous man. And the Bible says that little boy came up. Ain't nothing happening, boss. Hey, it's blue skies. He said, go another. Put his head back down. Prayed. Said, go look a third time. Went back there. He said, boss, I'm telling you, ain't nothing going on out there. It's blue skies as far as you can. He said, go back. Put his head down a fourth time. He said, go back and look. Little boy ran out there. At this time, he's starting to pity Elijah. Poor guy. He's off of the deep end of this believing stuff. I mean, been four times I done looked. I mean, halfway he said, ain't a cloud. Hey, boss, ain't nothing. He bowed his head. Go back down a fifth time. This time, I mean, he's probably laughing. Goes back. He comes back. Ain't nothing going on. Most of us would have quit long ago at this point. Sixth time, he goes out. He said, boss. Yay, no, yes, come on. And the Bible says he did one more time. Seventh time he bows his head. And that little boy says, hey, boss, hey, wait a minute. There's a cloud coming. The Bible says Elijah jumped up. And here's a righteous man that learned how to try again. It is a fight of faith to see this thing happening, to see your children brought in, to see your mom, your dad saved, to see finances in your life, to see your marriage where it ought to be. Never give up. Everybody say amen this morning. Come on, give him a great clap offering. Come on, musicians, come on back up this morning. Everybody stand up this morning, would you? You know, we're at a place where I felt the Lord tell me this last part of the year is really come to a place where you start growing in faith. And one of the reasons you don't grow in faith is you got, like I had, this dumb concept that everything worked for those biblical characters just instantly. It didn't happen that way for Jesus. It didn't happen that way for the Apostle Paul. It didn't happen that way for Elijah. They all learned that it was a fight of faith. Have you failed? Have you tried and failed? Are you frustrated? Have you toiled all night? In the most prime time, have you tried and say, you know, I've done it. Listen, nothing is impossible to those who believe. Well, I thought that was if you just reach this level that every time you believed, everything would happen immediately. Absolute lie of the devil to get you discouraged. There are some things the Son of the Living God dealt with devils over and over again. The Son of the Living God had to lay hands twice. The Son of the Living God had to come down and say, Father, if there be some other way, 3 hours fighting with his flesh. Learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Cried with strong crying and tears. Listen, if you failed, get back up. Read the success story of every great entrepreneur. Read the life of great missionaries, great pastors, great preachers, great workers in the faith. And you'll find at some point, like John Wesley, they failed miserably in their life. This church was began by a man by the name of Randy Bonacarso. And Randy had tried to start a church 10 years prior and had gotten so frustrated, took every book out of his library and heaved hold them. Said, it's not going to happen. And then 10 years later, it happens. You know, you may have given up, but there are times when you just begin to come back up. Luke 5 says, Jesus says, launch out into the deep. Listen, wrong place. They did their fishing up near the banks. They came up, they brought their nets, they'd come back up near the banks, and they would do it. Wrong time. You know the story. They did it at night. That's when the fishing was the best. And the Bible says, listen, he says, but at your word, I'll try again. Basically, he was saying, I want to take you back. You're going to try again, Peter. You failed. You got diddly squat to show for what you've done, but try again. I don't know what you failed at. I don't know where, maybe a business. It may be maybe a marriage you're battling with. Listen, wrong time and wrong places commands make you live by faith. A wrong place and a wrong time command really makes you live by faith. And that's when you give when you ain't got nothing else. That's when, when Elisha went to the woman at Zarephath and said, "Cook me a meal. You're starving. Your son's starving, but cook me a meal." Just like a preacher. Cook me a meal first, then you guys eat. But the wrong place at the wrong time, but it was a blessing. You learn in your life that there are times when God comes into your life and he'll give you a command, a wrong time, a wrong place. Have you ever tried and failed? Try again. Everybody say try again one more time. Would you say it with me? You weary in well-doing? Try again. Maybe you're frustrated in your spiritual life, in your business, in your family, in your marriage. You need Jesus to do a miracle. Let me say it. Peter said what Mary said when she was a little girl. Let it be unto me according to your word. According to your word, let it be. Let me just tell you, get that bad theology that I had in my brain. Get that out of your brain, that thinking just because it's not happening instantaneous and fast and all the rest, and that it's a struggle, that somehow you're less than all these miracle workers. Absolutely not. You're just the same. But bow your heads, would you, this morning? I want to ask you this morning, maybe you've gotten saved before and it didn't take. Let me say it that way. Maybe you say, "Well, this, I'm just coming because it makes me feel good, but I'm not really a Christian because it really doesn't work. I came to an altar one time and I gave my life to the Lord, but you know, it really doesn't work. I'm just playing the game. When I'm gone from here, I'm a different person, and I just know how to." Let me tell you something. Can I tell you this? Listen, try again. Come to an altar again. Give your life again. Turn your life over again. Do it again. Open your heart up to the Lord again. I don't know, Pastor, I tried that. It's just not. Try again. Every one of us, when I was a little boy, I gave my heart to the Lord. I got away when I was 10-8 years. I came back, and it took a little time, but I got back. I got back. This morning, if you're here and you have failed miserably at Christianity, let me tell you something. The Lord's altars are open. The reason you're here is because the Lord wanted you to hear the word, try again. Give your heart again. Do it again. It's a fight of faith. There is a devil that seals the word. There is a devil that brings and tempts you back into all kinds of try again. Maybe you're at a place where, I don't know what it may be, but let me just tell you, the word of the Lord this morning was try again. To understand it's a fight of faith. To understand you got to fight through some things. You got to stay in there and not give up. It may be healing in your body. It may be your marriage. It may be your own walk with God. It may be finances. But let me tell you, every success story has got a measure of failure hooked up to it. You talk to any successful person in this place, in any area of their life, and they'll tell you the failure stories that's littered there. But success comes when you won't give up. And you get back up and you try again. And when the Lord commands you to go back to the point of your failure and do it again, and do it again and do it again. Not always a sign of insanity. It's a sign of understanding. I'm reading right now, listen, I'm reading a book on World War II. And let me tell you, the reason Hitler was defeated was because of some people that was willing to try again and not give up. Too stubborn to throw in the towel and say, "I believe God. God has spoken to me. I'm going to see this thing through. It may take me 3 hours to get my flesh under control. It may take some time till I'm blue in the face, but I'm not going to give up giving forgiveness. I'm not going to give up receiving it. I'm not going to give up believing God to use me supernaturally. I'm not going to give up God using me in the Word. I'm not going to give up." Come on, Mike, lead us in a word.
Call upon the name of the Lord.
Come on, lift your voice.
And be saved.
Yeah, yeah. Come on, you want God to do, you're willing to try again, whatever comes back. Come on, come on now.
Come on,
call on Him again.
Lord,
call upon the Lord again.
And be saved.
Zoe, saved in all ways, saved in every way.
Call upon the name of the Lord.
And be saved.
And be saved.
Come on, all the workers, come down this place. Come on, you want to make your way to an altar. Come on, you want to try again.
Call.
Come on, believe. Believe today. Lord, I'm going to cry again. Come on, we will. We will call. And be saved.
And be saved.
And be saved. We'll call
upon the name of the Lord.
And be saved.
And be saved.
Say it again. Come on, just say it. Say you're willing. Say it. I'll
call upon the name of the Lord.
I'll call. It means life. It means your physical part. It means your emotional part. It means your business world. It means everything. It means that when you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. But I don't know what you need to be saved in. I don't know. Maybe it's saved from yourself. Maybe you need the flesh under control. When you call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus. Could everybody say that with me this morning? Say Jesus, would you? Say Jesus. When you call on His name, when somebody calls your name, it gets your attention. And when we sing that again, I want you to get ready to say the name of Jesus. Not just sing about Him, but call on His name. Say, Jesus, save me. Peter needed that one day when he was trying to walk on the water. Jesus saved him. Listen, call on the name of the Lord this morning. When we sing this again, I don't know what you need to be saved in. Maybe a relationship. Maybe your heart. Come on, let's say it. Call upon.
Say, call upon the name of the Lord.
And be saved.
And be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord.
And be saved.
And be saved.
And be saved. For those, especially at the altars, and I pray for those in the audience today that had given up. The white flag had been run up, and that was over. They just gave up. It wasn't going to work for them. Lord, today, thank you for injecting courage. That's what the word encourage means. N-E-N is the word inject, to inject. You know, you can inject courage in the people. And this morning, Lord, I thank you. I just see the Lord as a great doctor. Great, just going around with a big old needle, a big old shot. And he's injecting into you courage to try again. Courage to pick yourself back up and not to give up. Courage to say it can happen. All things are possible. That's what the master of the sea said. That's what Jesus himself looked at his disciples and said, all things are possible to him that believes. But don't get the concept that some way you reach a level of faith where it happens instantaneous. It did not happen that way for him. And if it didn't happen that way for the apostle Paul. And he said, follow me as I follow Christ. It's a fight of faith. You stand in there and you fight it through to the end. And you see, you don't give up on your kids. Don't give up on your, don't give up on your wife. Don't give up. Stay in there and fight. There's greater glory in the end. There's greater glory in the end. There's greater glory in the end. You may say, Pastor, you know, man, I've been beat up. I got my uniform on, but man, I got tears and rips and all of this. Stay in the fight. I believe in that day when we stand before the King of Kings. He's not looking for somebody with a pressed uniform on, with not one wrinkle anywhere. I think he's looking for those that's been in the army of the living God, been down in the trenches, down in the dirt, taking the hits, got their uniforms torn, dirt on their face, but they've been through a fight, but they've never given up. I believe in that day the rewards will go to them than those that go on and say, I'm just all clean. I believe God's looking for those that just won't give up. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. That's what Jesus said. Stop that quitting. Stop giving up. Stop getting in pity parties. Get up out of that trench. Get out of that dirt. Get out of that pit you're in and stand up one more time and say, I'm willing to try again. I'm willing to try again. I'm willing to. I'm like Elisha. I'm going to say, send the little messenger 7 times if it takes it, because I believe the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But sometimes it's a fight of prayer. It's a fight. You stand in there when you see nothing. You stand in there and you command when you go, and you do it again when you've done your best and nothing is your produce. You do it again believing God. Father, I just inject courage in this place. Thank you for a great week coming out ahead. You got warriors. You got men. You got that's strong in the faith. You got women that are willing to do it again. We love you. Everybody said a good amen, would you? Give them a great clap offering. God bless you. Give somebody a good hug and you go with the Lord this morning. Come on. Amen. Everybody be blessed.
Where are you, Lord? Mighty and strength. You are faithful and you will ever be. We will praise you. Your glory.